Welcome to KJV Cafe, where the truths of God's Word come alive. Grab a hot cup of coffee or tea and spend some time learning about our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Listen now to Pastor Clark Covington of Heartland Community Baptist Church as he explores great insights from the Word of God.
Have you ever slipped and fallen? Not fun, is it? Have you ever just suddenly slipped and fell down and wondered, could that have been prevented? And then maybe you said to yourself, yeah, it could have been prevented. Oftentimes slipping and falling, it's never really fun. Sometimes we might laugh because we're embarrassed, but oftentimes it can be prevented. So we're talking about here today, how to not slip and fall. You know, when I talk about slipping and falling, man, I have to think of Kobe, our eldest son. He loves chicken and dumplings. Amen. And at the old S&S cafeteria here in Gastonia, North Carolina, they make a mean dish of chicken and dumplings. And young Kobe, who might have been about 12 years old, and he was excited to get a plate of that chicken and dumplings. And he had to walk down that long aisle that they had there on that linoleum floor, whatever it is. And man, he wasn't careful and he was excited and he slipped and went up in the air and fell down, boom. And even the workers said, oh, my. And he got up and said, I'm okay. And he went and got his food. Oh, man, slipping and falling, that, you know, you look at that young man, you say that could have been prevented. But hey, you got to give it to him. He's excited to eat. Our kids every day, they're running and slipping. I was watching CJ yesterday. He was running towards the couch and man, he just, I don't even know what happened. His joint came out or something, fell down and popped right back up. Didn't even say anything. I remember Jenny, our daughter, running by the pool. And I told her, Jenny, don't run. And she looked at me and ran around that pool and fell down hard. And, you know, pools, they got the concrete there at the place we were visiting. And it was all preventable. All these falls are preventable. Now, of course, there are some falls that are not, but many are. And you know, God gives us a remedy, okay? God gives us something so beautiful in His Word about how not to fall. And I'm not talking about physically falling here today. I'm talking about falling into sin, falling into temptation, falling into depression, falling into all these things that mess up our lives. Oh, God's Word has a remedy for it here today. That's what we're going to speak about. You know, I want you to think for a minute. When you're dealing with slipping, you injure yourself, and it could have been prevented. You say to yourself, after injuring yourself, I wish it could have been prevented. Well, look, wouldn't it be great if we could prevent ourselves from falling into sin? You know, the wages of sin is death. You know, falling afar off from God and sit there and just sit, look at our lives and say, oh, what we could have done if we hadn't fallen into this sin or that sin. It's never too late to get right with God. Amen. Never too late, and never too late to grow close with God. Even if you're already close to God, we can always grow closer to Him. Because if we walk blindly through life and we're not paying attention to the dangers ahead, then we'll fall into trouble. You know, living for God's not easy. I don't need to tell you that. I'm sure if you're tuned in today, you probably know that living for God, it's not easy in this wicked world. Amen. I told my wife I'm boycotting everything. Now she's mad at me because I've boycotted so many things that some of the things like I can't boycott. She said, well, I thought you're going to boycott this. You're going to boycott that. Can I tell you, to live for God is not easy in this world. Oh, to just love the Lord and to serve Him. It's hard in this wicked world. You're not going to get a blue ribbon for serving God. Most people are going to say, what are you doing? Hey, it's, you know, come do all these worldly things. You know, what do you mean you don't watch those worldly movies? What do you mean you don't have a Netflix? What do you mean you don't have HBO, whatever it's called? What do you mean you don't go on and on? Okay, I could go on and on. I won't, but I could. It's hard to live for God. And in a way, it's like swimming upstream in this culture. And I can tell you, friend, that's just for a season, because the Lord's going to come soon. He's going to take us home to heaven and it's going to be perfect. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign, and we are going to be ruling and reigning with Him. Amen. It is going to be a beautiful, glorious thing. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've been saved, glory is waiting for you. Amen. When I first got called to preach, the Lord had me preach as a preacher boy for some years, even though I was kind of like an adult. I was still a preacher boy grouped in there for some years. And then I got to preach at the Rescue Mission. Then I got to preach at a tent revival here and there. And then the Lord allowed me, put on my heart, to plant a church in Lincolnton, North Carolina. And boy, we put one out there. Actually, we started in Krause, which is next door to Lincolnton. And my first message, I believe, first message was, "What does heaven look like?" And oh man, that was a great, great one for me to preach, because I was so excited to share with the congregation of what it looks like when you're saved. Oh, I just get excited thinking about it. But yet here we are in this dirty, mucky world. All of these problems. We're in slippery season. Living for God is not something we can put on autopilot. Why? Because our nature is to sin, and we're living in a sinful world. You know, Paul explains to us in the New Testament that if we were to not be around any kind of sin, we'd have to exit the world, because the world is just constructed of it. The little g god of this world has made a mess of things, and there's sin everywhere. And yet God expects us to be better, doesn't he? He expects us to get into his word and apply it to our lives. Does that not sound like every preacher that's ever preached anything say, we're going to talk about God's word, we're going to apply it to our lives? And sometimes that's hard, because sometimes you're stressed out and, you know, God's words are far from you. And you're in the flesh and you have a feeling about you, and it's hard to overcome that. But yet we need to recognize that this simple fact, it's important, because we can change for the better. You know, God can do amazing things with a humble person. You know, I'm in the Psalms right now. I'm studying the Psalms, and this message is on a Psalm, and we'll get to our text verse in a minute. I was talking to our congregation last night during our Bible study about fearing the Lord, and how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and how people have a lot of pride and therefore they don't properly fear the Lord. And, you know, we're getting kind of deep into it. And in the Psalms, it talks about how David's writing about how, you know what, when you fear the Lord, his eye is on you. He's more able to reveal himself to you. Oh, that's so good. Don't you want to know God today? Don't you just want to know him, know his ways? And, you know, couldn't you just say, God, let me know how you want me to live so I can live like it? I want to honor what Jesus did for me by living for you, truly living for you. You know, you can know that here today, and that's what we're going to talk about. And it's so great to know more and more of God as we fear him, as we respect him, as we understand him, as we acknowledge him in our lives, acknowledge him as the sovereign Lord over our lives. Our text verse is Psalm 17, 4 through 5. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. So here David's writing, concerning the works of men. That's interesting. What are the works of men? Well, that's the works of the world, right? Of man, of fallen man, of the sinful world. By the word of thy lips, whose word? God's word, which we still have here today. I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. It's so beautifully written. It's a really interesting way to describe it. So he's giving himself credit for keeping himself, but only giving himself credit in the fact that he went into God's word. And a lot of the Psalms, as you study them, it's David kind of describing what he's done that's preserved him through all the power of God, through all of these godly traits. And one thing he's doing here today in Psalm 17, verses 4 and 5, is he's stating that he has done this thing. He has gone by the word of God, the word of thy lips. He's gone by the word of God, and it's kept him from the path of the destroyer. And then verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. So David takes us from what he has done, and then he goes to what he needs to do. And what he needs to do is stay in God's will, stay in the path that God has provided him, so he doesn't slip. So let's go through the context of this verse a little bit. Number one, God has a path for us to travel. God has a path for us to travel. And guess what? You can't travel that path alone. You can't do it on your own. You can't have it's my way or the highway attitude with God. You know, Cain and Abel made an offering. One was accepted, one was not. The offering that was accepted was God's way. The offering that was not accepted, Cain's offering, was man's way. And Cain became a vagabond. He ended up killing his brother, and he ended up having a curse put on him, a mark put on him. And it was a nightmare. And that's an example of when we are called to live for the Lord, if we choose our own way, if we say, okay, God, we're going to do 50% your way and 50% my sinful way, that never works. God's 100% holy, and he expects us to follow down that path with him. We can't do it on our own. Secondly, God, through his word, has kept David from falling into a sin trap set up by the devil. And so we need to understand that there is a trap set up by the devil. You know, the Bible talks about the devil's fiery darts. Look, the devil wants to get you. Oh, he wants to get you. How can he get you? Oh, he could get you to sin. You know, the devil's a great accuser up there in heaven looking at God saying, look, oh, that person's supposed to be saved. Look at the sin they're in, right? Well, how's he going to accuse you if you're not sinning? That's kind of hard. Or, you know, how's he going to accuse you with all the little fiery darts he sends to you just makes you praise God that much more. That's why the Bible instructs us to praise God in the storm, in the trials of our life, in the valleys, in the low points. Hey, just praise him. If you're there today, just praise him. Just stop for a minute. Just say, God, thank you. Thank you so much for being with me in this low point. Thank you for caring enough to be with me when no one else would. Thank you for blessing me and giving me life. Thank you for persevering me. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do for me. Just start praising him, because that's the trap set up by the devil that breaks through that trap, because the devil's trying to get you to sin and get afar off from God. The devil can't hurt God, but hates God. So what's going to do is going to hurt the ones that God loves, as Brother Adrian Rogers used to say. Number three, we live in two worlds. We live in two worlds, a spiritual one and a physical one. The devil's goal is to make you confused enough to not understand this principle and thus live like the world that we're in, the physical world, the world system. But we're in two worlds. This is the idea that we see some things physically, right? But we don't see the whole picture. There's a spiritual world out there. The best way I could describe it, the way I described it to our congregation, is that if you were to have a problem with someone, if someone came up and smacked you in the face for no reason, you said, what on earth? Why did you smack me in the face? The Bible says, don't be mad at them. The problem isn't with them. Who's the problem with? The principalities, the dark powers in high places, right? The devil, the one that used them as the vessel. And so that's the idea of two worlds. We can't see the devil. We just see the person smacked us. But in actuality, there is a force behind it, a spiritual force. You know, we have struggle in our family, issues. My mother, she deals with mental illness, and it's been a struggle since I was a teenager. And I asked my brother, who was a psychology major, why is it that the mental illness, it always drives her to the negative, you know, always driving her to the negative? And I can't describe it. I said, it's almost like some kind of devilish thing. And he told me from his textbooks, I'm not a psychology major by any means, but from his textbooks, he told me that some science actually backs that up, that there's some kind of demonic thing happening that they can't describe. And if you see that, it's in the Bible, actually, the maniac at Gadara. Thank God for that reference that he gave me here. He was angry, and there was a legion of devils in him that Jesus had to cast out, right? He wasn't happy. He wasn't loving people absurdly. He was naked, and he was cutting himself, and he was chained, and he was wild, okay? And that is something that we see, that there is another world out there that we can't describe. And again, my radio time isn't sufficient, or my research, to be honest with you, to describe satanic possession and demon possession and all that. All I know is there is a spiritual battle happening here, and we must understand that we live in two worlds, a spiritual one and a physical one, and the devil's goal is to make you confused enough to just think it's just a physical world, and what you do here, it just matters here. Kind of the idea, like, if you sinned and no one saw it, it's okay, right? That's how, like, maybe the young teenagers think, hey, I did something wrong, no one saw it, it's all right. God saw it, amen? God sees it. And that's why we have to live for the Lord. We have to understand this duality that we're living in, that we're living in spiritual warfare. And what that means is, as the Bible tells us, we got to put on that whole armor of God. Amen. That whole armor of God. We have to protect ourselves. We have to have that breastplate on, the helmet of salvation on. We have to have our feet shod. We have to be ready with the preparation of the truth, because it's a spiritual warfare. And that deals with not slipping. Amen. Number five, David was helped by God's word to abstain from this lifestyle and be true to who God called him to be. Again, getting the Psalms, a lot of David writes about not just what he has done by getting in God's word and singing his praises, etc., which at that time was probably a lot of the Old Testament, Mosaic laws, and so forth. Also, what he didn't do. You know, he'll write about how he didn't get yoked up with a bad crowd, how he didn't go out with these awful, sinful people, and how he act righteous and how God wanted him to act, and how he's asking God to avenge his enemies and so forth. So David abstained from the sinful lifestyle. We need to be separate. Amen. I believe that 100%. I grew up in a worldly household. I grew up in secular schools, all that stuff. I thought people that were like Christians that were living separate, they were nuts. Okay. I had no idea what that was. Amen. I had absolutely no idea. And I believe it now that it's true that we need to be separate. No, we don't need to exit from the world. And yes, we need to be witnesses. And yes, we need to be loving, not thumbing our nose up at people. But we cannot partake in these sinful things that mess us up and get us to slip. It's so much easier to slip when we're in a slippery situation. Amen. I think that almost preaches itself right there. I had a football coach in middle school told me one time, if you don't want to be around the bad ladies, don't go to the place where all the bad ladies are. And that was the G-rated version, but you know what I mean. And the idea is true. If the principle is true, if we aren't going to sin, don't be around the sinful thing. My old preacher, Mike Rowe, a great preacher, he would always say, if you have a drinking problem, don't hang out in the beer aisle at the grocery store. I think that's excellent advice. Amen. We have to stay away from the sinful thing. And that oftentimes will lead us to being separate from people. Amen. Separate from groups of people that are living sinfully, that frankly hate God. The Bible says, if you're not for me, you're against me. And I believe that those that'll say, oh, I'm a Christian, I just believe differently. Oh, I'm a Christian, I just don't believe, you know, in creationism, and I don't believe in, that homosexuality is bad. If they were to say these things, they are going against God's word, God's literal true word. And we as fundamental Christians believe in God's word. Amen. We believe in the fundamentals. Amen. I was always taught growing up that that was the important thing, to believe in the fundamentals. So we believe that here today. Can I tell you, nothing has changed from when David was around. You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. We are still in the same circumstance, and God still yearns for us to live for him, for our good and his glory. Nothing has changed. We can't say, oh, we're more advanced and we've progressed here. Nothing has changed. Jesus died for us. And when we are saved by accepting him as Lord and Savior, we're expected to change our ways. That's how we change our ways. We accept him as Lord and Savior, and we purpose to do something different. We don't put it on autopilot. To live for the Lord is an ongoing struggle. It's a battle, and we must realize our state and the need for daily measures of grace and truth and life from God Almighty. You know, think of it this way. If God is using us as a vehicle, right? And think of vehicles. What do they need to run? They need fuel, or if you want to be really modern, they might need a charge of that battery for that electric car or hydrogen or whatever. They need some kind of power source. They need fuel or some kind of power. Spiritually, we're the same. We're a vehicle for God. We're supposed to live for God, be mirrors of Christ. We need every day that fresh anointing from God in his word. It's a cleansing power. It's true. If you get into God's word and you fellowship with God and you spend time with God in his word and prayer daily, then I promise you, when you stop for like, you have an emergency or you have a, you know, you have a vacation or your schedule gets messed up or something, you will miss it. You will miss it. And when you go back to it, you'll say, wow, I feel clean spiritually. I feel whole again. And that's from getting that daily measure of grace and truth and life from God, which comes from spending time with God. There's no way to do it without being in his word.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. As you learn the great truths in God's word, we encourage you to take the verses mentioned in this episode and study them, trusting God will open your eyes to a deeper understanding of himself. Now here's Pastor Clark with the rest of today's message.
So quickly here, we're going to discuss slippery people, getting a grip, and gathering that ongoing supply of grace. Number one, slippery people, the dangers of works of men. You know, men in this world, they're sinful. Why? They have that nature. You know, the Bible word would be that Adamic nature, that nature from Adam. Not only do they slip, right? But then they become slippery due to their deeds. You ever think of this? The sinner, not only is the sinner sinning, but then the sinner becomes a trap or a snare to those that are trying to live right. And I'm sure you can think of examples on your own of those that have been living in sin and have tried to pull one or two or whoever they could down in that pit, in that miry pit with them. Why? Well, number one, it's their nature to do so. It's their nature to sin. Until we are saved, and that's only by the grace of God, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone, they're going to sin. It's their nature. We all are sinners. We need to be born again. And when we're born again, it doesn't mean that we stop sinning. It just means that we're forgiven past, present, and future for our sins by the price that Jesus paid on the cross. So number one, men in this world are sinful and slippery because it's their nature. Number two, it becomes acceptable in the culture we live in. There's no reprimand. You think I'm exaggerating? Look at who the culture lifts up. Look at who gets the award trophies on TV. Look at athletes, look at celebrities, even executives. There's a guy, he used to be the head CEO of Nissan, and I think it was Nissan, and he was living in Japan, and he's from somewhere in South America, I believe, or Central America. And this man, he was like on house arrest in Japan for apparently being financially irresponsible or something. He was in big trouble. He snuck out in a musician's instrument case. His name is Carlos Ghosn, I believe. He snuck out literally in an instrument case. This guy's a millionaire, etc. He'd be highly lifted up in the world's eyes. And he's just running off, and he got to his home country and got asylum, etc. And said that he was wrongly accused. But look, there's no morals here, okay? That guy is living, you know, high and handsome right now, okay? And one day he'll be judged for what he's done. But there, you know, that's a simple example, but there's examples in all areas of this world that the culture, there's no reprimand. And what is the root of all this? What is the root of all the sinfulness? What is the root of rejecting God? Is it not pride? Not willing to humble themselves? Naturally sinful, culture accepting it, and boastful not to change. These are all results of sinful living. What does the Bible say about sin? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. So ask yourself, will men change their ways on their own? No, mostly they will not. Will God change his way? Absolutely not. So you're at a standstill. And if we read the Bible, we know that God overcomes and he wins. And all those that don't accept his free gift of salvation go to hell with the devil. We're at a standstill. Left alone, man will fall. Sin will take its nasty course. So what must have to happen? We must realize our state. We must begin to walk in the ways of the Lord and not men to sustain ourselves spiritually. Life is by who? Jesus. How? By grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. To avoid falling into the sin trap laid out by Satan, you must turn to Jesus and his word for your power and your perseverance and your protection, because it's for your good and God's glory. It's for your good and God's glory. God gives us this plan to stay close to him because it's what's best for us. Yes, he gets glory from us living good and pointing all things to him and talking about Romans 8:28, that all good things are from God, and that going into the scriptures and talking about how nature testifies to God and how great God is and how he's protected us, and we're praising God like David is in the Psalms in our own ways through testimonies and through preaching and singing and teaching. But at the same time, it's not just for God's glory. It's our best state of life. You know, point number two, the best grip is the power of God's word to defeat the temptation to sin. The remedy for slipping and falling is a good grip. You think about it. When it's slippery out, you purpose to put on your most reliable shoes. You know, when there's ice on the road, at least when there's ice on the road in New York, we would put on snow tires or tire chains to get that grip. You know, when you don't want to slip, if you're a rock climber, you put on chalk, climber's chalk. Basketball players, they don't want to drop the ball. What do they put on? They put on hand chalk. What do Christians do so they don't slip? What do they do in terms of their boots, their shoes, their tires, their hands? They go to the Bible. They get in God's word. David's verse shows, verse 4 shows by God's word that he has helped himself from falling, because God's word illuminates. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do we not slip and fall? How do we help ourselves? We get in God's word like we're doing today, and we apply it. And you say, Brother Clark, how do I apply it? I've gotten in God's word. I understand the text verse, Psalm 17, 4 through 5, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Yeah, I understand it. I understand it. Get in God's word. I understand we need to stay in God's word for his grace. Well, how do I do it? You know, how do I do it? Well, number one, look at the commandments. Look at the Ten Commandments. Look at the commands of Jesus, the commands of God. They're all unified. They never contradict. And they help us get a baseline for how we should live. You know, and we should teach these commandments to our kids as well. And the idea of just the base, you know, don't lie, don't covet, you know, don't be mean to your neighbor, love your neighbor, keep God number one, don't have any idols. That's a great starting point. Secondly, look at Paul's epistles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He's got great wisdom for us as believers, unbelievable wisdom in there of how we should live and what we should do. And of course, the whole book, the Psalms and Proverbs and so on, it all testifies to how we should live. Like James 2:20 telling us, faith without works is dead. Or Proverbs 9:10 telling us, the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. You know, there's hundreds of Old Testament verses that are referenced in the New Testament. It shows the relevance of all the Bible to help us from slipping. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. This is how we not slip. This is how we stand strong for God. The secret is to get in God's word and stay in God's word and continue to pray. Pray without ceasing, as the Bible tells us. And that's how we don't slip. And at the same time, finally here, point number three, we need this perpetual grace only given by God, because life continues to throw us curveballs. Life is continually a struggle and we need help. You know, verse five shows that we need an ongoing holding up by God. Do you understand that principle today, that God holds us up? We're only here because God has given us life today. We're only able to do anything because God has allowed us to. We're only under God's sovereign hand of justice. He is the one we must petition daily to live, to be a good Christian, to abstain from sin, and to not slip. You know, it's amazing to see David's humility in that statement. Here's David, a king and a mighty warrior, and yet he realizes his meager stature in life compared to God. He realizes his 100% dependency on God. And God called David a man after his own heart. And I believe part of it comes from these type of Psalms that deal with David's understanding of God's power to provide and man's need fully and wholly for God to do so. Where is your trust today? Is it in the world, a dollar, material things, people, idols? Put your trust in God. Put that trust to work in studying his word and living for him. More God equals less falls and more peace. And that's a fact. We need to live it. Amen. You know what's so funny is people think that the preaching and all and the teaching of God's word is just a ritual or something to help them get through their week or whatever it is. No, it's a day-to-day exercise. And so the church house is a healing house. Yes, it's a spiritual hospital, but in a lot of ways, it's a pep rally to get you fired up, to get you understanding right on the back on the right track, to get in his word, to seek true wisdom in God's word. He will provide it, but you must go to it. How can he give you what he wants to give you if you won't open the book? And how can he put things on your heart, or how can you communicate with God if you never pray? Get in his God's word, get in his word and pray, get in his word and pray, get in his word and pray, and then put it into practice. And live for him. Be bold in living for him. He'll protect you. He'll provide. Hey, at some point, David was running for his life and he had to turn to God and say, God, you're the only way I can stay alive. I got news for you. God's the one providing you breath. He is the only way you can stay alive. So it's best to go to him to not slip. It's best to go to him to live a glorious, joyful life, to have a wonderful testimony. Go to God, go to him today and forevermore, and you will have peace in your life like you've never had before.
Thanks for visiting the cafe today. Our goal is to inspire you with the truth and depth of God's Word in a straightforward manner. Do you know Jesus? You can today. Visit kjvcafe.com to learn more about God's great plan of salvation for all of mankind. Until next time, remember, as Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 puts it, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness."